Let's begin with a prayer. Our dear loving Father in heaven, we praise you for your mercy, calling us together again to worship you and to give you glory. Dear Father, help us to do that daily in our lives and to sing just like your creation, all of them, that the birds sing. Thank you for the privilege to breathe this fresh air, see this changing season. Thank you for the frost. Praise you for this opportunity to gather together and be encouraged. In Jesus' name. Is there another two papers there? I need the 32 and 35, those two first papers there. Okay, so I'd like to try singing this here, and I would like you to notice how the boys and those that are turning into men back there can get these low notes and you girls can't do it. And then how their voices start to just fade away coming up here and you can't do it. And you girls just start excelling up there. There's just nothing like the beauty of being able to reach those high notes in a clear manner. Okay, how about we try this here? We're going to start on C here, and we're going to say the letters. See how they're in alphabetical order, and they go up and they stop at G and start over again.
Hey, Marcus.
Go ahead.
Can I add something?
Yes, please do that.
On the pitch pipe, the lowest tone is the C, which coincides with the middle C, right?
So it coincides with middle C.
Yes.
Yes, I think you're right.
In actuality, so if you blow that, mm-hmm. you're actually hearing the middle C.
Okay, so if we... Okay, this here was simpler for me to just C right there. C. Okay, here we go. C. Let's go down, boys. Let's go down. C, B, A, G, F, E. C. Which is a me on our shape note scale. Okay. Do, ti, la, sol, fa, mi. Okay. We don't have. It gets really quiet and funny when we're down below that one. Okay. So let's start here and see who can start coming in as we go up. So that's the beauty of harmony. We have ladies' voices up here. We have men's voices down there. And when we men sing up here, we have to sing an octave lower. And you ladies, when you sing down there, my wife sometimes sings high tenor. She'll go an octave higher. on that tenor. So remember, our soprano notes, our alto notes, our tenor notes, and our bass notes. Does that make sense? All right, well, let's get singing. Did you understand that the Anonymous rests? I'm going to put it back here. Let's just start with Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord. Is that 19? You stay on the line. Come closer, the girl will follow back. Come closer. There. Ready? Ready? Take a deep breath. Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord.
Here on earth, why you see?
I didn't mean to quiet down, I meant to slow down. We were starting to speed up. So if you kind of watch my hand movements, we'll keep on.
Yeah.
Second score in the tenor, there's little whole rests there. And that means that our tenor is supposed to just be quiet that whole time. We're going to ask the bass, since there's are tiny little notes there, if there's piano notes, go ahead and hum that. Hum with your mouth closed, just hum. And get that little slur in there for us real nice.
Alright.
Hark to that sound. The tenor. It's time for you to just be quiet, observe your rest in that portion right there. And then you come in with a vengeance. And when it's your turn again, okay? That's the beautiful thing about needing to be quiet a little bit. Don't worry about it, because when you come in, we'll notice. Oh, and it's beautiful.
He comes up, praise the Lord.
O come all ye faithful. 34. I think we're closed with this one. Have enough of fresh air back there? Are we okay? I guess the weather changed. That helps. We got one fellow in the coat. Very good. Drew, what's my key here?
A.
A, yes, very good. So on the chorus here, you see the little notes that the tenor have? I'm going to ask you to hum them. Just hum. And the alto as well. Your notes are real small there, little round things. You need to hum there. But the soprano, you never stop. You just keep right on. A note down there? Did you see a rest down there on the bass where I was saying the notes are little for some of you? What rest is that? A whole rest. But now over before that, do you see one that looks like one of these? What rest is that? A quarter rest. Okay. So that's our bass being quiet. Please. Okay.
Oh, God.
It's a little tricky up there. You know where there's a word, the O, sing, all the citizens. You have to watch there. If there is no word at that point over there, and it just starts with Jesus, you have to give a little time for that note, that imaginary note there, and then you come in, okay? So we just close our mouths a little bit until there's a word to say, right? Okay. We'll get that later. Well, God bless you. Boys, your assignment.
For the assignment, we're supposed to say how we could say something about doing what we're supposed to be doing right now. And I thought about how if we're thinking about stuff that has nothing to do with us, or just trying to have everything completely figured out and wearing our minds out, when we're doing that, we often neglect what we're supposed to be doing right then, instead of like Noah, when he was supposed to build the ark. He probably didn't really know exactly what was going on, but he did know what he was supposed to do, and he did it.
Yesterday, some of us went to a class in Springfield, automotive class for the service advisors, and one of the points they were really pushing is that, kind of like what Brother David has talked about recently, have a good attitude. That's the first thing we need to work on. When we come in, start the day, you have the choice whether to have a good or a bad attitude. And it's, if you think about it, it's an easy choice, because it's going to make your day better and everybody else around you if you pick to have a good attitude. It's a pretty good lesson.
I was in my decision making this week, just pondering. You know, we have busy days, and we want to get home and do what we want to do, and we've got so much time to do it. You know, and so you're kind of hectic, and sometimes you get ahead of yourself. But I was thinking, in the process of making these many decisions about, you know, what you need to do around the house, or it's not really spelled out for you, it's up to you, you know, how you manage your time and what you do. And what I was thinking is, how do I know that my decision is a good one, or my attitude's right, or, you know? And I just thought, if my decision is based on love, then it can't be a misleading decision. You know, whether I'm doing stuff for myself or other people, if I'm tending the garden and I'm taking care of something and I've got love while I'm doing it, then what I'm doing will be profitable. But what I'm saying is, we won't be misled. We won't obsess about anything. We won't ever hurt other people if we always think, am I doing this with love? And I thought, well, what good is anything if there's not love in it, you know? But why would we keep something like that? It's like trash. It's just stuff that clutters our mind and pride and all that. It leads you down the wrong path. And so, anyway, I'm trying not to use so many words. The way that I can be in the moment and just do the right thing and not be misled is just think, okay, am I doing this? Is this love or is it not? You know, and there's going to be failures. There's going to be tests and situations where it's hard, but in the end, is there love in it? Does it produce what helps other people, you know? Because we're all part of this body. We're all part of a family. Or in my case, I'm part of a family and a crew. And you've got to love each other. You've got to be patient. You've got to. And that's a full-time job. So
anyway.
I thought of one thing is loving my enemies. And not. It's very easy for me to get a bad attitude against somebody, but I should just love them and let it go, whatever they did to me.
I'm working at being more responsible and making sure my job is completely done before leaving. Because a job half done is never done right.
This week, two of my siblings were having some argument about something, and I was listening, and I heard what I thought was like the right way or whatever, and so I wanted to jump into the argument, but then I realized it was so much simpler to just let them fight it out while I could go do whatever I was supposed to be doing.
So that we need to be doing what we need to be doing right now, because if we're not doing that, we can't go on to do what we're worrying about. So got a verse of Matthew 6:34. So do not worry about today. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
I think David's talked about how we shouldn't spend very much time planning on things in the future, and I tend to do that pretty much, planning like different how I'm going to reach a certain goal and all, you know, figuring a certain trail to get to a certain point anyway. And what I need to realize is that it's doesn't really hurt to do that, but you shouldn't be counting on it turning out like that, because a lot of people, they just live and then they never know really what's going to come up, and you know, things just turn out how they didn't expect it, and that's perfectly fine. We don't just gotta plan everything.
Uncle David's preached several sermons about just taking a step that's right in front of you. One illustration he gave was when a baby's learning to walk, it doesn't just jump up and start running. It has to learn to walk tiny baby steps, and they don't go straight to crawling stairs because they can't walk. You got to take the step in front of you and then move on.
And Randall and Chad, I guess. Uncle David's preached several times just not worrying about the future, stressing out about it. Just God will put it there in front of you. Just take the next step and he'll do the rest. You just got to do what you're supposed to do. Stay focused.
I need to be a nice, kind boy that's willing to work. Sometimes we start thinking that we should be doing better than what we really are, but it is just simple. We just should do just what we're supposed to do right now.
I'm trusting the wisdom that my father taught me.
Just to be faithfully, help my dad humbly, and not be too worried about my own things or projects, and to help with the more important things.